disappointment and evening entertainment. But tonight I'll be some love. Tonight I'll be a ricochet, regardless of what's come before. I want to see all of the things that we've already seen. I want to see you take a jackpot out of fruit machine and put it all back in. You've got to understand that you can never be the bandit, no. And she won't be surprised.
Good Sunday morning, everyone. It's 4 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. And today is Sunday, April the 23rd, 2017. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, coming to you from WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, Tufts Free Farm Radio 91.5 on the FM dial, streaming live on www.wmfo.org, multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, you have to give me a call. And our phone number, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Same deal. Okay, 1-855-915-WMFO. Just about anything and everything is fair game as far as the world of sports is concerned. Love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. That number again, 1-855-915-WMFO. I'll be right back. We'll be right back. Okay, 9 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. here on WMFO in Medford. I'm Don Lee Brown, another edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Like I said, we're here every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. talking sports or getting involved in sports conversation. You just have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Okay, let's go to the National Hockey League. Yesterday, the Blues 4 and the Wild 3. That was an overtime game, and the Blues win that series 4-1. Rangers 3 and the Canadiens 1, and the Rangers win that series 4-2. I can imagine everybody in the Bruins front office, and probably a lot of the players too, the way they were talking, glad that the Canadiens didn't go any further in the first round. And so, therefore, all the ones who are Claude Julien haters sleeping happily tonight. Okay, other game in the National Hockey League yesterday, the Oilers 3 and the Sharks 1, and the Oilers win that series 4-2. Now, in that Bruins series, okay, the Bruins down 3-2, but they came back and won an overtime game, double overtime game, I believe. And so who knows, there may be life in the old beer yet. So we're gonna see what happens in today's game, which I believe is going to be played in Ottawa. 4-3-2, Ottawa over the Bruins. In other series, the Capitals lead the Maple Leafs 3-2, and they play tonight at Toronto. The Penguins already beat the Blue Jackets. They're out 4-1. And out west, the Ducks beat the Flames 4-0. So the Flames are gone. And the Predators beat the Blackhawks 4-0. And so the Blackhawks are also gone. That was kind of a surprise. The Blackhawks had a pretty good season this year. So the Bruins still in battling with the Senators. Everybody else is going to be moving into the second round. All the other winners, rather, are going to be moving into the second round. So we'll see what happens when that takes place. But like I said, the Bruins are trailing in that series 2-3, and they got to win 2 in a row. So that's the whole ball game right there. Win 2 in a row, or yeah, gonzo. But, and all the other, I got to say, all the other games have been close. They haven't been blown out in any of the games. Winning that first game out there in, up there, I guess I should say, in Ottawa, may have just maybe given them a little bit more confidence than they needed. And overconfidence doesn't win you too many ball games. Hockey games, I guess it is. Puck games. You hockey puck. Don Rickles, the late Don Rickles. Okay. And the Bruins are, getting some offense, surprisingly, from other than the big names. Yeah, like Corrali got 2 goals in that win. And nobody was happier than him because he hadn't scored a goal all year, if I can recall. So maybe we can get some more stuff out of. And McAvoy, the kid right out of college, does not look out of place. He's been doing, really good work. Krejci went down with an injury, and we had Krug out with an injury. So who knows if they're going to be back to help us. Probably not back tonight, that's for sure. But anyway, we'll see what happens, and hopefully we can keep that puck moving and put it in the net occasionally and stop them from putting it in the net. So we'll see what happens as Bruins fans eagerly await tonight's game. 4:13 here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org, multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, April the 23rd, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll say this from what I've seen of the Bruins playoff games this year. One thing has occurred, which I think is very interesting and very significant as far as the Bruins are concerned. The Bruins, you know, with the younger legs, have not looked as slow as they did last year in the playoffs. Last year, the last 2 years, really. When they didn't even make the playoffs, they just looked like an old, tired team. And you got to admit that it's a grueling season. But the other team just seemed to be skating rings around them. This year, they look like they've got their legs under them, and a lot of new players and a different style of play as well under Bruce Cassidy. And so therefore, and I think Bruce Cassidy should be named Coach of the Year. Coach of the Year. Coach for the next year. Give him a contract that gives him a couple of years, and let's add some more players to the mix and see how far we go from here. Okay, it's 4:15 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, April 23rd, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, you just have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back.
Thank you. There's a threat targeting America. One that's growing fast, but may still be hard to see. Lyme disease. Spread by tiny ticks, often smaller than the head of a pin, this dangerous disease is now more widespread than West Nile, tuberculosis, and HIV/AIDS combined. And if left untreated, it can lead to arthritis, facial paralysis, and even memory and concentration problems, often called brain fog. As the threat of Lyme disease grows to more than 300,000 projected cases each year, it's time for us to target Lyme disease. That means checking for ticks when you've been outside, even in your own backyard. It means seeing a doctor if you experience the symptoms of Lyme disease, which can include joint pain, flu-like symptoms, fever, fatigue, or sometimes a bullseye-shaped rash. Set your sights on stopping Lyme. Learn how you can target Lyme disease at targetlyme.org.
And the message is brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. Okay, 4:21 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, you just have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Let's go to the National Basketball Association. Yesterday, the Raptors 87 and the Bucks 76. That series is tied at 2 games apiece. The Hawks 116 and the Wizards 98. Washington leads that series 2-1. And the Grizzlies 110. That's an upset. Grizzlies 110, the Spurs 108. That was an overtime game, and that series is tied at 2 games apiece. I guess the benching of the Spurs starters for most of the third period into the fourth period didn't help in game three. And the Grizzlies came back and eked out a win yesterday. And like I said, that series is tied 2 games apiece. That game went to overtime, if I didn't mention it. And also out on the West, the Warriors 119, the Trailblazers 113. Golden State leads that series 3-0. Kevin Durant did not play. The Blazers, I believe, are giving it all that they have. And I don't think that they'll win a game since the next game is back at Golden State. So, there you go. Raptors and the Bucks are 2-2. Washington leads Atlanta 2-1. The Grizzlies and the Spurs are 2-2. And the Warriors over the Trailblazers 3-0. If you hadn't heard, I'm going to tell you. The Celtics won game 3 out in Chicago. So home court advantage has not meant a thing as far as that series is concerned. Chicago leads that series 2-1. Elsewhere in the NBA, the Cavaliers lead the Pacers 3-0. And the Clippers and the Jazz, the Jazz lead that series 2-1. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. The Rockets lead the Thunder 2-1. And like I said, and that's it. So we'll have to wait and see. You know, the Celtics, you know, obviously in that first, in the first 2 games at home, in the first 2 games at home were totally affected by the tragic death of Isaiah Thomas's sister in a one-car automobile accident. And so that impacted not only Isaiah, who played well, but the rest of the team as well, obviously, were not up to par. In game three, the Celtics made one change to the starting lineup, inserting Gerald Green into the starting lineup and bringing Amir Johnson off the bench. I don't know how much of a impact that really made. Johnson, when he did get in the game, did not play a whole lot of time. I think he only got about 12 minutes. Green played over 20 minutes. And got some points, and you know, it made the Celtics offense a little smaller, but they didn't lose much on defense. Green played pretty good defense, got some rebounds, and that was the main thing. The Chicago Bulls were just killing us on the boards, and that sort of stopped in game three. And we shot better from the outside. Excuse me. Got out to a big lead. Chicago cut it back, I think, down to about 3 or 4 points. But then we built it up again and sealed in the rest of the way with the bench contributing. Rozier and Jerebko and Kelly Olynyk, coming in. And obviously Smart. And Jaylen Brown didn't play that much. I don't think he scored. But anyway, the bench did, a much better job in game three. So hopefully that will continue. Obviously, got to mention that the Bulls were playing without Rajon Rondo. He's their assist man. He's going to be probably out for the series, if not, and even if the Bulls win, I don't know if he's going to be ready for the next series. He has a fractured thumb. So that's going to be interesting to see what takes place from there on in. As I've been saying, as we come to approach the NBA draft, I guess in a month or so, that the Celtics' big need, I think, is either a power forward who can score and rebound and play some tough D, or another big man on the inside. We're looking for Anton Zizek to come across the ocean from where he's playing in Turkey and make the club next year. And that will add some more rebounding strength on the inside. And he runs the floor well, can hit an outside shot. I was talking about maybe Zach Collins also as our number one pick. Collins is coming out of Gonzaga. Doesn't figure to be a number one pick, but he played with a lot of enthusiasm. Got his share of rebounds, can hit the outside shot. And when their number one center went down, Gonzaga did not lose because of Collins on the floor. He played extremely well, I thought. Is he worth a number one pick? No, depends on who else is out there. But right now, was it Tate Jackson, I believe, is coming out from Kansas. He's 6'8". Didn't know he's that tall. Maybe he should be our number one pick. Anyway, if we get the one pick, we better get the number one pick. One, two, or three. We're going to get a player. The question is, is he going to be able to impact the ball club right out the gate? We have the Dancing Bear, who's been doing fairly well with the main Red Claws. Then we have, that's why I'm saying, I don't think we need another point guard, unless he's going to be the greatest point guard in the history of the game, who can play defense as well as shoot the ball, and also be able to distribute the ball as well. And I don't know if that kind of person is out there yet. That I would want to, see us. I think Jaylen Brown is going to be, improved certainly next year. At 19 or 20 years of age, whatever he is right now, he's had a very good rookie year. So I look for improvement there. And I look for the Celtics bench to be really improved next year as they add these new contributors to the lineup. Will we make a trade or will we sign a free agent? I don't know if George wants to go to LA, even though that's his hometown, as terrible as they are. They don't seem like they're going anywhere in a hurry. So if he's a free agent, he's available, who would you want? If he's a free agent, you'd want him as opposed to Butler, who would Butler have to trade somebody for. So we'll see what happens. We have a lot of pieces in the mix. We'll see what Danny's going to cook up and put out there for us for next season to make us that much more improved. Okay, 4:30 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial. We're on the internet, www.wmfo.org, and we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, April 23rd, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in sports conversation, just have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Be back.
This tree was never chopped down because this crutch never needed to be carved. Because these legs never grew weak because this child never got polio. Over the past 20 years, Rotary Club members have helped immunize over 2 billion children against polio. Now we are on the brink of eradicating this crippling disease once and for all. But we need your help. Thanks to an historic matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to make sure vaccines reach the people who need it, to protect the children of the world against polio forever. This is an opportunity to end polio now. Visit rotary.org/endpolio. Rotary, humanity in motion.
And the message is brought to you by friends here at WMFL, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sport, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, you just have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. 437 is the Brown Perspective on Sports Time. And just about anything and everything is fair game as far as the world of sports is concerned. Certainly love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Okay, Major League Baseball coming up next here on the Sports Show. Yesterday in the Major Leagues, in the National League, the Cubs 12 and the Reds 8. The Nationals 3 and the Mets 1. The Phillies 4 and the Braves 3. That game went 10 innings. The Cardinals 4 and the Brewers 1. The Rockies 12 and the Giants 3. The Diamondbacks 11 and the Dodgers 5. The Marlins 6 and the Padres 3. That game went 11 innings. In the American League, Tigers 5 and the Twins 4. The A's 4 and the Mariners 3. The Rays 6 and the Astros 3. The Orioles 4 and the Red Sox 2. Cleveland 7 and the White Sox zip. The Rangers 2 and the Royals 1. The Angels 5 and the Blue Jays 4. And in the interleague game, the Yankees 11 and the Pirates 5. In the Red Sox game, once again, not much hitting. Xander Bogaerts went 1 for 5, scored a run. He's hitting .321 on the season. Jackie Bradley Jr. went 2 for 3. Scored a run. He got two RBIs. Also got a walk. He's hitting .333 in the season. He hit his first home run of the year. Mookie Betts went 0 for 4. He's hitting .295. Hanley Ramirez 0 for 4. Hitting .211. Moreland 0 for 3 with a walk. He's hitting .309. Young 1 for 3 with a walk. He's hitting .245. Leon 0 for 4. Hitting .205. Sandoval went 1 for 3. He's hitting .220. Selsky pinch hit for him. He went 0 for 1. He's hitting .125. And Hernandez went 1 for 3. Hitting .290. Dustin Pedroia got hit in the knee by Manny Machado sliding into second base in the game the day before. And so he sat out. I don't think it's that serious, but I haven't heard that it's going to be that serious. He's still with the ball club. He was sitting on the bench. But they're evaluating him on a day-to-day basis. Excuse me. Wright started. He went 3 2/3 innings. Gave up 9 hits, 4 runs, all of them earned. He has an 8.56 ERA and gave up 2 home runs. He's 1-2 on the season. Hembree came in. He pitched 3 1/3 innings, gave up a hit, 1 walk, struck out 5. He has a 1.59 ERA. Ross came in. He pitched a clean inning, and he has a 4.15 ERA. Okay, so overall, I would say at this juncture of the season, Red Sox problem seems like it's a holdover from the playoff against Cleveland last year. I don't know if Cleveland has their number. Maybe Terry Francona, knowing the ball club that well, most a lot of the players in the ball club that well, knows what to tell his pitchers, and maybe the book is now out on the Red Sox. You got to remember that guys like Mookie Betts had a career year. We don't have David Ortiz, but Moreland hasn't been that bad. Actually, he's been very good. But maybe the rest of the players. Benintendi didn't play yesterday because they started a left-hander, but he's been hitting over 300. The question is, the problem is that they're not getting the clutch hits. When they get men on base, they aren't driving them in. Pablo Sandoval is obviously an improvement since he didn't play virtually at all last year. And he's so far stayed in shape. He's hitting the ball fairly well. He's just, you know, a streaky hitter. He's a, you know, he's a Yogi Berra type hitter. You can throw him a ball out of the strike zone and he'll go after it. Dustin Pedroia is along that line too, but not quite as undisciplined as as Sandoval and Berra seem to be. But the pitching has not been that bad, but the question is sometimes, you know, like when you get good starting pitching, sometimes the bullpen fails. Or you, like yesterday, Wright was not that bad, but they had to bring him out, take him out early, so we had to get major pitching, major innings out of the bullpen as well, which is not good over the long haul. And the game before that, it was a game that Chris Sale pitched extremely well, took him out. He did not get the win because Kimbrel gave up a home run to put the game into extra innings. But hopefully, it's still early. You know, no one's jumped out to a gigantic lead to say, oh, we're never going to catch them now. Yankees have been playing really well, a lot better than I thought they would be playing. They've got a lot of young guys as well. So it's anybody's, is from my perspective, it's anybody's ball game. It's anybody's season. And because, like I said, no one has yet jumped out to say, hey, okay, we're the class. Even the world champion Cubbies have been having a problem. And they're coming into Boston, too. So that's going to be an interesting series. Chicago is 10-7. They're leading. The National League Central. Washington leads in the East. And Colorado, surprisingly, leading out West. In Arizona, Tony Lavolo's team is doing extremely well. They're in second place. And Baltimore has increased their lead to 3 over the Red Sox. Yankees are 1.5 games behind in the American League East. Cleveland leads in the Central. Detroit and Minnesota and Chicago aren't that far behind, and even Kansas City. So it's anybody's ball game out there in the Central. And Houston has jumped out to a 4.5 game lead. A 4-game lead, I guess, is over Oakland, L.A., Seattle, and Texas. So there you go. It's 4:44 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, April the 24th, 2017 edition of a Brown Perspective on Sport, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, just have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Be back.
It can happen to the best of us. Abraham Lincoln and Henry Ford, Walt Disney and Harry Truman, they all had money troubles at one time in their lives. So if one day you have to say these words,
I can no longer make my mortgage payments.
Don't be ashamed. Act. Call the people expecting your payment and let them know there's a problem, right away. Because the sooner you let them know, the easier it will be for both of you. You see, nobody wins in a foreclosure. The process is costly and heartbreaking. Companies want to work with you. In fact, they have whole teams of people dedicated solely to keeping borrowers out of foreclosure. So if you're in danger of falling behind in your mortgage, call the company you've been sending your payments to every month and call them today. They can't help if they don't know you need help. To learn more, visit HomeLoanLearningCenter.com. That's HomeLoanLearningCenter.com. Brought to you as a public service by the Mortgage Bankers Association.
And also by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and A Brown Perspective on Sport. 4:51 is the Brown Perspective on Sport time. We're coming to the close of our program today. And so we are going to have to talk of New England Patriots and the draft, which begins this Thursday. Now, the Patriots don't draft until the third round, so they won't be in the building until Friday, unless they do some kind of trade. But they've done so much yeoman work already, I would be surprised if they do any more trading during the first round of the draft or whatever. But anyway, what are the Patriots' needs? My perspective, I'm saying they probably need to draft the best linebacker out there. And who is that by the third round? It's not easy to determine. Some people said Ohio's Terrell Basham could bolster the Patriots' edge rush. We have Dante Hightower coming back. We got Shea McClellan and Kyle Van Noy, who were the starters, and they did, extremely good jobs considering. They pushed them right into contention because, we're right there battling for the Super Bowl. And Alandon Roberts played, very well considering. In effect, these guys are going to be, improved. So now who can we get behind them? I guess that's the next question. It looks to me, since the Patriots have been not in a rush to sign LeGarrette Blount, and we've picked up the guy from Cincinnati, who everybody's been, raving about. But we have White and we have Deion Lewis. But, we're probably going to look for a physical back in the draft. Although I don't think that's as high a priority as possible. And I would say, hey, let's continue with Blount. Get him back in here. Whatever the situation is, no one else is throwing a whole lot of money at him. So we should be able to get him at a reasonable amount. Jabal Sheard left. And we picked up Coney Ealy. Trey Flowers did, really well on passing situations. So we're going to look and see who else is out there. We draft first, and we don't get a first pick in the draft until the third round, which is number 72, because of a high finish. And then we have another pick in the third round, at number 96. In the fourth round, our pick is 131. In the fifth round, we have two picks, 163 and 183. In round six, we have the 200th pick. And in round seven, 239. So, unless we do some trading, we are not going to be getting a person that you're going to say is definitely going to come in and, make the ball club right off the bat. But is that necessary? Another position that we look at is maybe offensive line. Nate Solder and Marcus Cannon did yeoman work Solder, I believe, is in the last year of his contract. So we could be looking for someone to back them up. Injuries is always, you know, a situation that you have to consider. And so we're going to wait and see. That's all we can do. And also, we have Malcolm Butler back. He signed his tender, but no one has thrown any contracts at him big time like he was hoping. And so, therefore, it looks like he's going to play at least this year. And interesting free agent out there is Jason McCourty, Devin McCourty's twin brother. And they are twins, without a doubt. I saw a commercial with them recently, and you can't tell one apart from... I can't tell one apart from the other. Maybe I look at it long enough with their uniforms on. But anyway, he's a free agent. He's a defensive back. He could be there to back up Rowe, who played really well last year. Can't have too many good defensive backs. And we're going to see whether Jones, their pick in the second round last year, who had a lot of problems on the field and holding on to the ball. And we're going to see whether he's going to be able to impact the ball club this coming season. So that's about it. Oh, yeah. I can't forget that's about it. We still have our trillion-dollar quarterback. And I don't think we're going to be drafting a quarterback, but... it's going to be interesting if we get any offers for Garoppolo now that everything's on the line. Supposedly the Browns are going to be happy with Brock Osweiler. And they're looking for the best player in the draft, who everyone says is a defensive lineman, linebacker, whatever. From, where is he? Texas A&M. Somewhere along those lines. But anyway, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, how far we go. Are people going to make offers for us now that everything is on the line there? And Tony Romo is no longer in the mix. I look forward to the Patriots repeating. You can say you heard it here. On Sunday, April the 24th, 2017, long before the season actually gets underway. But, they got mini camps and all kinds of other things coming up very shortly. So we're going to wait and see what takes place there. Okay, 4:58 here on WMFO in Medford. Time to put the wraps on this edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Be back next Sunday talking sports again. Let's get you involved in sports conversation, but you have to give me a call at 1-855-915-WMFO. We'll be able to talk about the draft and a whole lot of other stuff, too. How far the Celtics have gone and the Bruins have gone in the playoffs. Will they be continuing or will they be knocked out? I think the Celtics have a better chance than the Bruins. But we'll have to wait and see on that one. Okay, 4:58 is the Brown Perspective on Sports. Time and budget to stay tuned. Sounds of Praise is coming your way at 5 a.m. We have part two of our Resurrection Sunday program. We put out so much great music last week that we couldn't get on. I said, hey, we're going to have a part two program this Sunday. So here we go. Stay tuned. The program is entitled, Thank You for the Cross. So, Sounds of Praise coming your way very shortly. You stay tuned for that. Great gospel music here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial.